This is the Brain, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Yes!
One, two, three.
Okay. All right, let's do this. Hello and welcome to the unofficial flagship podcast of the GeekCast Radio Network, Altered Geek Unlimited. This is episode 20. I'm your host this week, Michael Powers, and joined, as always, by Steve Megatron Phillips.
Hello, hello.
How you doing this past week, sir?
Doing pretty good. Had some fun things going on, but as far as my gaming experiences,
you wrapped up Arkham Origins?
Yes. I'm still doing side missions, but for the most part, it's done.
So, how do you rate this among with the other two? Where would you put this one?
See, that's where it gets a little tricky for me, because I'm a fan of the entire series. I like Arkham Asylum. However, after you beat the game, you're by yourself in the asylum with nothing to do besides collect Riddler stuff. So there's not a lot of replayability just for beating people up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd probably rate that as the third one out, just for that reason alone. I like Origins and I like City. It's kind of a toss between the two. I like the fact that Origins incorporates a lot of both Asylum and City in it. And I also like a lot of the stuff as far as City is concerned, namely some of the villains that are in it, like Freeze and stuff like that. But I don't know. It's kind of tough there. There's a lot of stuff between the two that I really like. So
you probably I would think at the moment. If I were to pick for you, at the moment, I'd probably say City's probably number one with Origins coming in at number two, only for the amount of time put into City.
I would say that, but I would also say Origins is a hell of a lot harder than City.
What one do you think had the best story?
Well, as far as like all encompassing, wrapped up in one nice setup, I would say Asylum was probably the most cohesive out of them. And while there was the kind of undertone of things happening in City and Origins, and then, you know, side missions going on throughout it that you could either do or not do, there were a lot more unexpected twists and turns in Origins compared to City. So I would say the despite not having Paul Dini or Kevin Conroy or Mark Hamill or anything for Origins, I would probably say Origins had the better story out of them, which is okay. Kind of odd for me considering I'm such a DCAU Batman the Animated Series aficionado.
Right.
But no, I mean, I found myself very surprised throughout the story of Origins. There was not really much I didn't expect in, City.
Yeah, I think we had we were all surprised by by Origins, especially because, as I've said repeatedly, and we've talked, you know, this, I know for most listeners, is the, like we said, I told Steve before we started recording, this is the third podcast in a week where we've gone in depth in Arkham Origins. There was the last, there was Alter Geek Unlimited episode 20, off the cuff, the giant size episode that we just released. We talk about it for like 30 minutes in episode 40. Mainly trying to clear the air regarding some remarks I made on off the cuff episode 20. But, you know, we were all concerned. I mean, there was like a moment where, you know, they made the announcements that Paul Dini wasn't involved, that Rocksteady wasn't involved, that actually I think it came down that, you know, Rocksteady wasn't involved, and everyone was like, okay, well, if it's the same, you know, the same people are, and then it was like, Paul Dini's not involved, Kevin Conroy's not involved, Mark Hamill's not involved, and it was like, oh, this isn't going to be, you know, it was this cascading effect, and there was a moment where I wasn't even sure I was even going to get the game. In fact, I don't even know what it was that changed my mind on the game. I think I picked it up on a whim just because, for two reasons. One, I would want to be able to talk about it on Off the Cuff, and two, I just wanted something to play until the PlayStation 4 came out. And in that regard, I'm really glad that I did, because I was shocked. Like, any concerns I had went out the window rather quickly, which ultimately made me rather depressed, because one of the things I had is that, you know, Warner Brothers as a game publisher would just realize that anybody can make a Batman game. Which throughout the history of Batman games clearly is not true, but there was a formula that Rocksteady
kind of developed.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the mechanics in the Batman games, in the Arkham games, are borrowed from other games that have come before it, and that's not a bad thing. You know, they put their own. First of all, the one thing that the Arkham games have going for them is the combat. Like, I think the combat system is the one thing that Arkham brought to the table that other games have mimicked. But all the other mechanics, like the way the camera's point of view, the contextual, some of the contextual buttons and stuff like that, all of that is borrowed from like other games. Even like the stealth mechanic to a certain point is even borrowed straight from Splinter Cell, or any other stealth game that came before it. It's just that they pulled the right parts from other games and, you know, put it in a bottle and shook it up, and you got the Arkham games out of it. And obviously the recipe was so good that they could hand it off to another studio, and the studio could basically repeat the recipe but add their own. I don't know, I guess you can kind of look at it as like a, I don't know, like a pizza or like a pasta. It's kind of like the Arkham, what Rocksteady did was they made a really good sauce, and another studio can just add the noodles, you know? Like,
yeah, I could see that.
And maybe they'll add, like, you know, a little dash of salt here or some oregano there or something to change the sauce up a little bit, but essentially you'll end up with the same, you know what you're getting. It's just a story told by different people, and I don't know, I don't really want to go into it, but whoever is responsible for the story of Arkham Origins, they did a pretty good job with what they had to work with, so.
No, I definitely agree, and yeah, I know we're beating this with a dead horse, but I figured now that it's beat, that gives the one last hurrah towards Arkham Origins, at least until I eventually get the expansion.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't plan on getting anytime soon, because I spend entirely too much money on Christmas.
I actually finished Origins because I, as I said last week on the episode, I actually pulled the trigger on ordering the gaming capture hardware. Mm-hmm. I haven't actually tried recording any actual video footage yet. to like edit and make a YouTube video out of or anything like that. I haven't tried that yet. I've done some streaming. Like I streamed the last, apparently I only had like 2 hours left of Origins. So I jumped online on Friday and I finished that up. And then Sunday night, my friend and I, we streamed a little bit of GTA Online, for some people to see. It's a really simple device to use. It's really nice. I actually like it a lot. So that's something I purchased last week. I actually just tonight, my wife and I went out. I took her out to a nice dinner, and then we went over to Best Buy, and I was able to buy two things without her rolling my eyes at me. I bought another router, trying out another one. I'm probably not going to return this one. I got Apple's newest router. It's almost like the router I just bought a month ago, but it's has Apple's router management software in it, which is a lot easier to navigate. It's not a janky web page, it's actually an app on your computer.
Oh, okay.
So it just makes it really nice to change the settings, because you're not having to you don't open a browser and go to 192.168.0.101 or whatever. You don't do that. It's an app on the computer, and actually I what's really cool is I set the entire router up from my phone. I didn't even have to log into it on my computer. My phone recognized it as a new router, and it was like, would you like to set this up? And I was like, yes, and it just went through all the entire setup process right on my phone.
Nice.
But that's what you get when you live in the Apple world. Everything, they do everything for you, so you don't have to do any of the work. The other thing, which I'm really surprised she didn't roll her eyes at, is I bought a brand new remote for all my electronics. I pulled the trigger on the Logitech Harmony Touch remote, which is, I don't know if you're familiar with the Logitech remotes. You can set up like activities, so you can say like, I want to watch TV, and it turns on the TV and it puts it on the right input, and then it'll like turn on the receiver and set it to the right input. Or you can say like, I want to play my PlayStation. It'll turn everything on to the right inputs and stuff, so everything's ready to go. You're not fiddling around with a bunch of remotes trying to figure out what input stuff goes on. So I had one for my 360, an old Logitech remote that basically did the same thing, but it was like 7 years old, and I was like, I've got a little extra cash. I'll go pull the trigger on it. What was really neat is that the remote regularly by itself is like $250, and I had $85 in Best Buy money.
Nice.
Yeah, but it gets better than that. When we're out to dinner, Best Buy will now match Amazon's prices. And when we were out to dinner, I pulled up the remote on Amazon, and I noticed that Amazon had it for like $200. And so I was like, oh, cool, I can get, $50 off of it at the store. Well, we get to Best Buy, I grab the remote, get the router, go get in line and stuff like that, and I get to the register, and I have to pull up the website, the Amazon page on my phone so that they can see it. And I go to do that, the price dropped $12. No. Like 20, pardon me if my math is wrong here, but like $22.
Okay.
Between when we were at dinner and when I got to Best Buy. So it was like $188 on Amazon. Versus like $250. So I was like, oh, I'm sorry, that is $12. My bad. So it was I got there, I was like, oh, that's really nice. So I had like the $85 in Best Buy money, and then my wife, was like, oh, I can cover the rest of the remote for like your Christmas present. So I was like, oh, sweet. Pretty much just ended up paying for the remote or the router, which was awesome. And like I said, I got out of there without her rolling her eyes at me. So, I haven't had a lot of time to play with it, but it's got like a touch screen on it, and you can it works kind of like your phone. You swipe around on it and you can, I don't know, it pulls up all your, if you have cable, like if, and you say you want to watch TV, the touchpad turns into, instead of like numbers, there's all the channels are listed there with like an icon for the channel.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying channel one is ABC, there's like the ABC logo and you just tap it and we'll take you to that channel.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's really nice to, and I don't know, like I said, I haven't had a lot of time to play with it, but I was able to splurge a little bit today because it was like, it was payday and all the bills were already paid. So I was like, oh, I want some new toys. So, and like I said, she didn't roll her eyes and I used my wife's eye rolling as a barometer about whether or not I should actually
purchase
something. Like if I can run it by her without her rolling her eyes, then I've just, like, I can justify any purchase. No matter how absurd it may or may not be, but if I can run it by my wife without her rolling her eyes, then yeah, maybe I really do deserve it or should get it or something. But no, I'll probably have more to say about it next week. But have you done anything else this last week besides Arkham Origins?
I've been working on stuff behind the scenes for Geekcast Radio as usual, but not really. I mean, I've been really kind of playing away at it, chipping away little by little, and then, like I said, the story kind of surprised me throughout, and some of the side missions are actually a little bit harder than some of the main missions, and it's depending on who you're going after. I did find similarities in some villains to villains that show up later in either Asylum or City, and they definitely left pieces in the game that clearly lead to the fact of what we talked about last week of one studio developing one game and one developing another. 'Cause in Origins they had plenty of loose ends or of characters that they had room to explore between Origins and Asylum, and then same thing with City to whatever comes next.
Right.
But yeah, that's pretty much all I have been doing over the last week.
All right. You dug up some news stories here. I see that.
Yes. And I tried to go, I mean, some are obviously superhero related. More so TV, and then some of them are just kind of random crazy geeky things that are floating around.
All superhero all the time.
Well, it just happens that's what's big.
Right.
So yeah, I guess we'll start in the superhero realm and then jump to something different. There's the CW Flash TV series. It seems like they're going to get Ernie Hudson to play a character in it.
I wonder if that's going to be his boss.
I'm almost guessing that it will be, only for the fact that he played a good military kind of guy in charge in Transformers Prime as far as voiceover. But I could see him playing definitely like the captain of the police force on whatever city that Barry's supposed to be coming from.
You know what? Sorry, side note. There was something else I did this week. I decided to try and finish Transformers Prime.
How'd you like that?
I am halfway through the third season. I'm kind of bummed because it's not what I had. It's like I don't follow the Transformer news or anything like that. I pick up little tidbits here and there, and then I form an idea of what I hope it would be in my head, and it's not that. At least halfway through the third season, it hasn't proven to be that. I was hoping that the subtitle of it is Beast Hunters. I was hoping that there would be more characters that I would recognize. for some odd reason, I thought there was going to be Dinobots in it. Or even, like I said to you in the Twitter direct message, asking you if there was supposed to be any correlation between, if they were trying to tie in Beast Wars with, you know, Transformers Prime.
Yeah.
And especially when they, in the early, in the first half of the season, when they start talking about Predacons, and they start talking about how they've been on Earth before, like a long time ago, like I thought that was going to be like a direct reference to the characters of Beast Wars. And it hasn't proven to be that. It's just like a dragon, and I don't remember a dragon from what I remember of Transformers as a kid.
No, there wasn't one in the original.
I mean, I almost wish it. I almost wish it should have been. Was it Triptychon? Was that the giant T-Rex Transformer?
Yeah, which they eventually turned him into the Decepticon warship Nemesis.
Yeah, I wish I there's just certain, I had higher expectations for them to bring in characters that I knew, and they haven't done that, at least as far as I can tell yet. I don't really want the last half spoiled for me, but like I said, I had an idea of what I wanted to see, and it just hasn't proven to be that. I know you said that like the Dinobots are in the comic, but I have no desire to read a Transformers comic. I mean, I'm still of the opinion after watching 2.5 seasons of Transformers Prime that the Autobots are the bad guys.
Yeah,
I just have this weird look. I understand that the Autobots are the good guys. I get that, you know, from a good guy bad guy standpoint. But when you sit back and you see it as like an adult, to me, it's the Autobots that are committing wholesale genocide with the way that they murder Decepticons left and right, and that there are a lot of there are no name Decepticons. Like they have drones, you know, like just worker bees. And then there are, like, the known cast members for the Decepticons.
Well, the funny thing is, those drones are called Viacons.
Which
is a clear ploy on keeping the copyright from Beast Machines. the subtitle, I think, is the dumbest thing in the world, because it's called Beast Hunters. Then they should very well have a lot more beasts than just Predaking, which in the original was a combiner. But they turned him into this beast in this. And then in Beast Machines, they called the second season Battle for the Spark. The payoff of them, you know, having a spark battle by the end of it for all of them. This is quite kind of similar for the Beast Hunter part. I will say the last episode is interesting. Very unexpected things happen, and then you have to watch the Predacons Rising film after that.
Okay.
Because it explains things further and finishes things off, and then I actually was quite impressed with the Predacons Rising thing, which you're going to catch a lot of familiar references in that.
Okay.
More so than you will with the rest of season 3.
All right.
So that's all I will say without spoiling any information.
Okay. I mean, I'm enjoying it. It's just, and for some reason, the theme music reminds me more of Star Trek than Transformers.
I know, it almost sounds like it was composed by the guys that did the recent Star Trek reboot.
Yeah, it just sounded like that opening. I feel like if you were just to play that audio to somebody, they would think it was Star Trek over like a Transformers theme. But no, I'm enjoying it. It's fun. I was just Tuesday at work, I was just bumbling around trying to find something to watch. Because my wife and I have I started watching The League on a friend's request.
Okay.
And that show was actually really funny. And I showed it to my wife thinking that she might like it, and lo and behold, she did. And now I can't watch it without her. So I was at work on Tuesday, like, jonesing to watch more of the league, and I didn't want to do that without her. So I was like, okay, what can I watch? What can I watch? And it's like going into the mid-season break.
Oh, okay.
So I don't have a lot of TV shows to watch. And so I was just bumbling around on Netflix. And I decided to watch. I was like, okay, I'll just put on Transformers Prime. And sure enough, I got sucked back into it. Like, I was going to put it on in the background and go do stuff on my phone. But I got sucked back into it and started paying attention again. But, sorry, got sidetracked because we brought up Transformers Prime and the voice of, what's the guy's name? Hudson.
Yeah, Ernie Hudson.
So, I do think he's going to be like some type of a boss figure for the guy. Maybe like the head of his crime lab or something.
Yeah, I don't know how that's gonna play out. I know that they're talking about like Bloodhaven and I guess possibly calling this guy Detective West, who's supposed to be like a kind of father figure to him.
Oh, okay.
So
I think we're just gonna take a different twist on the character.
Yeah, that's what it's looking like. And I guess also with the show, they're instead of having the Flash actually show up on Arrow, they're gonna spin it off to his separate show like they were planning.
Well, but isn't the actual Flash pilot part of? It's part of the first season of Arrow.
It's part of the second season, the mid-season finale.
That was the pilot?
That's no, not the good pilot. It's going to be given its own pilot. But no, it's going to be after that incident.
Right, but I'm saying I thought the pilot was actually an episode of Arrow, like in the last half of season two.
No.
I thought that was the original plan.
The original plan was, but they've decided to give him his own pilot rather than return to Arrow's second season.
Dang it. Man, I don't want to have to watch another show to see if I...
They should have just made a Justice League TV show and then slowly introduced them all.
Nah, well, there's slowly and then there's what Arrow's doing. Arrow's going very slow, but I do enjoy the speed at which Arrow is going, because they seem to be, one, there's a whole lot of world building going on in just about every episode.
And they're tackling a little bit at a time rather than trying to beat it into you.
They're leaving, like, almost every episode has a branch that can be linked to something else down the line, which is great. And the payoffs for things are really great. Like, we talked about how on the last episode, how Arrow earns the "I'm not gonna kill" because, you know, it earns that, because the first episode, even I had that issue with the first episode, he's just killing people left and right. And now because his friend died, he's made that oath to not kill again. So that was one of the issues that I had with the first season, and luckily they've addressed that, and they didn't just address it in a cheesy way, it earned it. So
yeah.
No, I'm really impressed by what Arrow is doing.
Have you actually watched that episode?
Oh, I've seen the mid-season finale.
Okay.
Which is why I'm disappointed that we're not going to get more Flash until, like, the fall. Like, we're not going to get his own series, we're not going to get his own series until the fall, and I won't get to see him again until then. That's disappointing.
Yeah, I know. I was. My initial thoughts on the actor playing Barry Allen, without having ever seen him, I mean, I jumped to conclusions, but I still was willing to give it a shot, knowing that he came from Glee.
Oh, did not know that.
And I can't stand the show, so but his portrayal is fine. Like, I had no problems with it, and I actually think he fits it. At least this young iteration of Flash. And I was kind of sad to see this information as well, because you get to see him getting electrocuted and bathed in electrical, you know, electrified chemicals and everything, and that's it. That's all you see of him. And then you see Slade and, you know, all these other random events going on that are going to tie back in later.
Yeah. Have there been any leaked shots of what his suit looks like?
No.
Is he going to wear a suit? Have you seen anything about that?
Like, I haven't seen any information one way or the other. I would assume when he figures out, like, maybe in the pilot he develops the suit.
Are you hoping for something spandexy, or are you hoping for something like the new 52 Flash, which looks kind of armorish?
I'm hoping it's a happy medium. It can have the look and style of the new 52, but be more spandex-ish.
Okay.
Like a textured spandex.
Right.
Because I would be fine with that. But I think, and this is just me speculating, I think that he'll develop his own suit within the first episode or two, just for the fact that he was giving arrow pointers on his suit.
Right.
Right from the get-go. You should use the mask. And then he's, you know, spitting out information about all this stuff, so... but no, I mean, I'm looking forward to it.
Alright, so... Keeping on the arrow train here, I can't get this link to open, so maybe you can tell me what it was supposed to be. The Flash pilot, to hint at another major DC character? I can't get those links to open.
It's... Here, I'll drop it in the window, too. They're talking about tackling some bigger villains and possibly heroes. And then they're saying that they're hinting at possibly having Reverse Flash.
The yellow one?
I think so, yeah.
Well, someone...
They're stating that, I guess, that he's strongly hinted at in dialogue on Arrow?
The Yellow Flash? I think so, because I was actually going to bring that up. One of the other podcasts I recently listened to was talking about the first half of Season 2, and they said that the Flash that they've kind of introduced, they've kind of laid the groundwork for the Flashpoint Paradox story, which is where his mom was murdered, and, you know, he remembers seeing a flash of yellow.
Yeah.
I think that's the dialogue that they're talking about. Apparently that links, that is kind of, that heavily, you know, shadows the Flashpoint Paradox storyline, which I've been told I need to watch that, so I'll probably remedy that soon, too.
I've seen the Flashpoint Paradox from the DC Animated Universe, and it's actually pretty good.
Who does the voice of Flash?
In that? I don't know off the top of my head.
If it was Rosenbaum, I'd watch it in a heartbeat.
I know it's not him, but whoever they got to voice him is actually along the same lines.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of who it is. I guess it says Justin Chambers is the voice.
The name sounds familiar to me.
He's been in a lot of TV shows. I don't see him in any other voice work. I think that's his first voice role.
Justin Chambers. This is what people love about listening to. Oh, Grey's Anatomy. No, yes, okay. Yeah, I know him from Grey's Anatomy. Yes, I watch Grey's Anatomy, everybody.
And then they got Kevin McKidd as Batman Thomas Wayne.
Okay.
Steve Blum as Lex Luthor, Captain Thunder. Kevin Conroy is Bruce Wayne, Batman.
Oh, okay.
Which he's only in, like, the briefly in the beginning and the end. Sam Daly, the son of Tim Daly, which was the DCAU Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Daly's son, Sam Daly, is Superman in this.
Okay.
Dana Delaney, the same one that did Lois Lane, is Lois Lane again.
So it's most of the DCAU guys. Or like an amalgamation of them.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of. Nathan Fillion's playing Green Lantern, Hal Jordan.
He did that in the movie, too.
He did that in a lot of the animated ones. Like Justice League Doom and stuff like that. And then they get Cary Elwes playing Aquaman. Which is okay. Strange. It's
yeah, that seems weird.
There's a bunch of other people that are pretty familiar to the stuff. You know, you have Andre Romano tied to it, so you know it's good.
Well, the casting is good.
Yes. I rather enjoyed the film, and then they add a nice touch showing how Flash created himself and all that stuff, so okay, fairly good put together all the way.
My computer is being dumb. What the hell?
So did you hear the rewrite that they're doing to Batman vs. Superman?
I saw the article today. I have not had a chance to read anything about it.
Have you watched Argo?
I have. That was, if anyone remembers, that was the movie that made me actually, after they announced Affleck as Batman, I went out and rented Argo, and what was another one that he did? I think I rented The Town and Argo, and I only had time to watch Argo. But I was sold on him being Batman after I saw Argo.
The Town was actually pretty good. I don't remember much about it now, but I remember watching it and liking it. I have not seen Argo yet. But the fact that, one, the screenwriter for it is an Academy Award winner, and the fact that it put Ben Affleck in a more serious kind of note, can't be all bad, considering. No. There was a lot of fan hate towards Man of Steel with certain aspects.
Unnecessarily, I might add. I don't know. I've really enjoyed Man of Steel.
I don't really care for it, honestly, but that's just... It has nothing to do with the fact that I like Batman more than Superman. It just... Something about the vibe of it, I just didn't care for. And it has nothing to do with the fact that Superman killed, like everybody else was complaining about, or... The fact that, oh, he's, you know, because he's green Superman, he doesn't know any better. I didn't care for the film. So, to me, adding in somebody else to rewrite it or rework it, I'm fine with. Especially from all the critical acclaim that Argo got.
Right.
Did you see the other bit of news? That Joaquin Phoenix...
Yes, I did see that one. But are there any guesses as to...
There's rumors that he's going to be Luthor.
So we've moved on from Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, it says that they're trying to get him... That I guess they're really trying to get him to be in the film. But for a villain role. But I am not sure what to think of it, because I don't much care for half the stuff the guy's been in. So
that's understandable.
I don't like the guy and how he acts, and he's just kind of weird. So I don't necessarily agree with that, but I'm sure they have their reasons.
All right. My computer, like certain parts of my computer just stopped functioning for some reason, but I'm struggling. I'm getting through it.
Okay.
Let's see. I don't really think we need to rehash what we know about Batman vs. Superman, considering we cover it
every chance that we get. Yeah, pretty frequently.
So. Let's see. I still wish we could see a costume.
I really want to see one, something terrible.
So. Do you want to do listener feedback, or do you want to cover something else?
I guess we can cover a couple of the littler geeky news things that were kind of around. They're not really news, they're just geeky things that are kind of floating around. Did you see that in the links, the life-size air-powered Lego car that hits 20 miles per hour?
Again, I saw the headline, but I have not had a chance to actually read the article.
I guess it's like 500,000 pieces of Lego, 256 pistons.
Okay, somebody has time.
Yeah, it's a fully functioning life-size air-powered Lego car.
Okay.
Which it's built in Romania, and it was shipped to Melbourne, Florida. And they actually have this guy driving it in the video.
So basically, it's a glorified golf cart, 20 miles an hour.
Pretty much.
It's going to go cruising around.
But it says that the guy drives it extremely slow because he's scared that there'll be a giant Lego explosion.
I can see that.
Because Legos are not something that are very friendly when they start breaking.
Well, I mean, does it say anything about how it's constructed? I'm sorry, I can't pull it up right now. Does it say anything about how it's like constructed? Did they like glue the pieces together as they were building it?
It doesn't say. I wish it did.
I met a guy at the geek sale. We were talking about building Lego sets, and he says when he builds a Lego set to display, he will glue every piece together. So that it won't come apart, obviously. I was like, I can't do that. I build Lego sets to display now too, but I couldn't imagine gluing them so that they never come apart.
Yeah, I'm not one of those guys that likes to do that at all, but I could see the reasoning behind it if you don't want to ever have it fall apart or tear it apart again and rebuild it. It doesn't say anything about the construction.
All right.
I'd be interested to know, but and then there's the other one that says, your dog could talk back with this mind-reading headset. Which just reminded me of Up.
Yeah. Squirrels! Yeah, I wouldn't want to know what my dog is thinking.
I would, but wouldn't at the same time.
I imagine there'd be a whole lot of stuff you wouldn't want to hear.
It would depend on the situation, but I still think it'd be interesting. Not that I'd want to buy one, because I'm sure it'd be ungodly expensive.
I know that there is a... I don't have one. I probably would never get one. I have a Fitbit. It's like a fitness tracker. Wear it on my wrist. Tells me how many steps I've taken in a day, how many calories, blah, 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 blah. There's another company out there called Fitbark. And it's basically the same. It's a collar that does the same thing as my my Fitbit Force does, but it does it for dogs. It keeps track of how active they are and stuff like that, so you know if they're getting enough exercises.
Nice.
Which is absurd. I buy a lot of crazy stuff. I don't think I could ever buy that. So.
Yeah. I like I said, I probably would never buy that. I think it's cool. Don't get me wrong, but I would never buy it.
Right.
So yeah, I guess we can get into some listener feedback. Last week questions were, what are some jobs you've had that you hate, and what is your thoughts on the Arkham franchise or Origins so far?
All right, let's get into this. Let's see, Connor Murphy said, I never had a job I hated. School, on the other hand, don't get me started. I don't know anyone that's actually... I don't know too many people that have actually enjoyed school.
I most certainly do not, and I'm in college.
I will say that I miss school, like the social, like networking side of it. You know, being able to see your friends. I find that I actually enjoy. Maybe it was all like going through school and stuff like that. I like having a schedule. I hate when I have to find something to do for myself. I like when time is already made up for me. I didn't really care for it so much when I was in it, but now that I'm like out of it, I really enjoy anything that adds a little structure to my day. The only thing that kind of sucks is, yeah, you can have a job that does that. Like, yeah, your job goes from 9 to 5. That's awesome. And I have that now, which is great. I feel like I have a sense of purpose every day. But up until like 3 months ago, I worked 2 days a week. And I had done that for like 4 years. So if anyone does the math, in a given year, I would work 104 days? No. Yeah, like 100. I'd work like 104 days a year. So in 4 years, I worked like 416 odd days. So that's like, you know, but now, and I, the other 5 days of the week, I used to have to find something to do with my time, which I spend a lot of that time playing video games or researching various different toys to buy and stuff like that. But now that I'm working almost every day, and I have a set schedule, I actually like it because it gives me something to do. I don't have to waste so much of my time finding something to do. That's one of the things I did like about school, was having to go. Like, my wife, she finished up her schooling with online courses.
Okay.
I could never do that. I couldn't. I need that structure. I need that thing that says, you need to be in this class for, you know, for this hour. Like, I could never, I don't think I have the discipline to say, okay, I'm going to sit down at home between this time and do all my online courses. Like, I don't think I have that kind of discipline.
I've been doing online classes. I have discipline because I only do it 1 day a week. Like, I'll sit down. Like, I might sit down on my lunch hour just out of boredom and do it, but I only do the one class online. I have one other one that I physically go to.
Okay.
That way I get the freedom of less days in the classroom, but I still have to go to one, so it reminds me to do my other class on my lunch hours.
There you go.
So it's kind of at least two-in-one.
There's something that says you're in school.
Yes.
So, it's like my wife and I were talking today about she's glad that I don't mind watching for the bills or when the bills are due and stuff like that, making sure that they're paid. She's glad that I take care of that. And I said, it's just a thing. Like, I just started, you know, I'm used to every time I get a check, I just instantly look at what bills need to be paid. And I know certain bills can be paid out of, you know, this check or the next check. Like, it's just a thing. Like, whenever I see the money hit my account, I immediately go and look at what bills need to be paid. It's like, it's just like I that's just the way that I've like trained myself. It's kind of like I'm in you're taking a lot of online courses like you said, and there's at least one course that you have to go to school go to an actual classroom for. It just reminds you that you are in something, because I think that's one of the hardest things is that like when you do an online course and online courses and you're responsible for making sure that you do the work, it's like that's there's nothing there to show you that you're doing anything, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He also follows he also answers the Arkham question with my opinion on the Arkham series is that I love City, really like Asylum, and Origins is growing on me. I'm glad Origins is growing on you, Mr. Murphy. I really enjoyed that.
Yes. Jared Kessler says, I love the Arkham series, and I don't see the casting of Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill as fan service at all. People wouldn't have the issue with how their tone doesn't fit the games if it wasn't for their past work. People automatically place them with kids' cartoon, but if you remove that association, I think you'd see they both have the gritty voice that fits the game. And I know you kind of...
Yeah, this spiraled out of control.
Yeah. I kind of agree with you that the current guy that they've got doing Batman and Origins, I think has that nice balance between Bale and Conroy. So he fits the Arkham games much better than either one of those would. And Conroy does better at the animation side.
Yeah, I had another conversation with my other friend who's like you. He's a Batman aficionado. He loves the Arkham games and stuff like that. And he came to the same conclusion that I did, that Conroy doesn't quite fit the aesthetic for Origins. And I won't go too in-depth with it here. If you really want to know the end-all be-all of my opinions, you can go listen to Off the Cuff, the giant-sized one. But I will just say, what it boiled down to when I was talking to my other friend, I kind of realized that it's not that Conroy was necessarily a bad fit. It's that Conroy's Batman was stoic to a fault. Like, there was no range to his delivery in anything. Like, his Batman in the Arkham game, that voice was, and this is really weird to say, that voice work was made the character unrelatable. And we've said before on Off the Cuff that there really is no bigger fish in a video game than Batman. It's like we talk about how the tone of a game, whether or not you should be scared or not, is directly related to the character that you're playing. Like the first Arkham, like in Arkham Asylum, the first time you actually experience Scarecrow's fear toxin is kind of like when you're going into the morgue.
Yeah.
And there was a moment when I was going in there and you start seeing like the cops and they have like the white eyes and everything just kind of like takes a creepier tone. I was mildly creeped out. I wouldn't say I was like Dead Space scared or anything like that, but I was like really creeped out. I was really on the edge of my seat. And then I went, you know what? Wait a second. I'm Batman. I'm freaking Batman. There is no bigger fish than me. And from that moment on, for the rest of the game, nothing bothered me because I'm Batman. And I feel like it was just, I don't know, I feel like Conroy's voice work in that was just like too stoic. It made the character like completely unrelatable to me. Whereas the new guy, being like a younger Bruce Wayne, there was this... Yeah, I was still Batman, but he was really rough around the edges. Like, we talked about how he's got the Bale growl and anger, but he's got the Conroy-esque smoothness to, like, his calmer demeanor as Batman. Not to mention there's the stuff with Alfred that happens, and you just feel more for what's going on, whereas the Batman in Asylum and in City... While it's Batman, just, I don't know, it didn't sound right to me. It was just kind of like, I hate to say this, but it kind of felt like he was more just going through the motions of being Batman rather than taking on, like, the new character. or the new interpretation of Batman. And whereas Hamill, on the other hand, he totally brought it. Like he cranked the creepy slider on the Joker like to 11, and he ran the gamut of, you know, you've got the creepy psychotic Joker and you've got the comical goofy Joker. Like, I feel like those two and like every Joker in between was on display in the Arkham series, where Conroy was like more or less just kind of like phoning it in. Like he was being Batman, but he wasn't being that Batman.
Yeah.
That probably just makes it more confusing and opens me up to another can of worms. But I you know, that's just my opinion. I'm glad I'm not the only one standing on that side of the fence. I'm glad that like you and my other friend who are big Batman fans and do love Conroy, and don't get me wrong, Conroy is my Batman. Every time there's a new animated film and Conroy isn't the Batman, I knock it down a peg until I see it. I think my new favorite Batman voice is Bruce Greenwood.
He's a good modern replacement, kind of like the Troy Baker to Mark Hamill.
Right. So I don't know, but I'm glad I'm not the only one that can acknowledge that, you know, Conroy may not have been the best suited one, and that this new guy actually does a pretty good job with Batman. So I'm hoping he's Warner Brothers Montreal's guy for their Batman and their stuff going forward, where I guess Rocksteady can keep Conroy.
Yeah.
Not that I won't play their stuff.
But I think that's rather fitting, because you have a more toned and more more kind of a Batman that's kind of harder to rile up. He's older, so I mean, the Conroy fits better for the older anyway, and for the origins and prequels, I think.
I just feel like you can do an older... I just feel like there's a better voice you can do for the older Batman. Like, I feel like you can still show a range of something in there.
Well, yeah, I definitely agree with that, and I do think that he could have added a little bit more emotion, kind of like the animated series had, but it may have also been the kind of voice direction that they were giving him.
Right.
So
which is unfortunate. Yeah, like I said, I'm glad I'm not the only one, because Danner, from my co-host from Off the Cuff, chimes in after Jared with, I agree with a lot of what Mike says. A lot of the reason Arkham got off the ground was because of Rocksteady approaching Paul Dini. Rocksteady's development team were huge fans of Batman the Animated Series. Paul Dini added legitimacy to the project and brought both Conroy and Hamill into the fold. Adding all those people to the creative process added to selling the idea of the project to WB Games. Hell, Paul Dini was the first major announcement when they first introduced it to the public. They didn't announce voice actors until months later. I worked at GameStop when the game was announced, and pre-orders for the game didn't pick up and gather steam until the voice actors were announced. I like all the games in the series in their own way, despite the fact that City suffers from the worst case of ADHD that I've ever seen. And I'm still waiting for my Batman Hush game that was the major tease in City. Also, my worst job was working at a gay strip club. I hated working just for the tip. Drops the mic. Yeah, I'm just glad that I was, like I said, just glad I wasn't the only one on that side of the fence. And no, Danner, I think the worst job you had was being a GameStop employee.
I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. Superfilmfan98 says, "The only job I hated wasn't because of the job itself, but because of my boss. She was this old hag going through a midlife crisis who I think had a thing for me or something, because she would be super uncomfortable all the time, giving us all way too much info on her personal life and her freaky love style. I'm talking HBO late night weird type stuff. Shivers."
Well, I'll take HBO late night over Showtime.
I don't have Showtime, so I don't know what even displays on there.
Let's see, I don't know if I've ever had a boss that's like overshared or anything like that. No, I've never had anything like that. So
I don't think I have either.
The Walking Dread says, jobs that I hate. Huh. Well, how much time do you got? I worked at a local amusement park once. Second sounds fun, huh? While doing the same thing for 8 hours while listening to the same 45 seconds of annoying song can drive anyone crazy. Not to mention the amount of horrible families and their annoying kids that they couldn't control. That sounds like torture.
I think I'd have to gouge my ears out.
I can barely stand listening to that music while I'm at like an amusement park.
It's no wonder that they kind of stand there and they're like evil stare.
So I'm guessing that working at an amusement park isn't anything at all like the movie Adventureland, which I actually like.
So that was a good amusement park.
Well, I think that I don't think anyone in Adventureland actually liked working at the amusement park. I think they just liked hanging out with each other.
Yeah.
So, which I can totally understand that part of a job.
Caleb Browning says, the job I hated the most was working on one of my friend's farms. One of my biggest jobs was to help clean out the barn with all the cows. It was literally the shittiest job I ever had, and the pay was not all that good either.
That sounds also atrocious.
Yes, that's terrible.
I think I would give... Well, see, you could end up dealing with vomit, or you could end up dealing with shit. I'm trying to figure out who has the worst job, the amusement park guy or the farmhand?
I don't know. Those are pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure there's a way to differentiate between the two. You guys can fight it out in the forums.
Yeah.
In the comment section.
I think we'll wait till we get through all the comments and figure it out. Kind of have a voting on here of who's got the shittiest job.
Freddy Savage says, I have only played the first two Arkham games, and they are two of the best Batman, maybe best overall superhero games ever made. I think people would also throw Spider-Man 2, the movie game in there. I heard that's pretty good, even though I don't think I ever played it. I played the demo, though. Jobs I hate. So many to choose from, LOL. I think the job I hated most was one of my first jobs as a dishwasher at this hole-in-the-wall restaurant. It was dirty all the time and just a bore. So glad I don't do it anymore. Have you ever worked as a dishwasher, Steve?
Not specifically as a dishwasher. I have worked food. And one of my...
That's where you did the pizza stuff.
Pizza, McDonald's. one of my jobs at both was... doing dishes in addition to many other things, but I will say that food places are the most disgusting places to ever work.
I spent 2 summers as a dishwasher. One summer was at the Woodfield Country Club in Grand Blanc, and the second summer was at the Woodfield Country or the Warwick Hills Country Club.
Oh, nice.
I don't know. I liked. Well, first of all, let me just say, both kitchens were really nice.
Well, yeah, those were clean establishments.
Right. So maybe, you know, but what I'm saying is, for me, washing dishes at a restaurant like that, like a nice restaurant, like that was like zen to me. I liked washing dishes. First of all, I liked how hot the water always was. That was always fun.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing like hot water. But I there's something really zen about just washing dishes, and you got like the rack and you put it in the machine, and it's a really cool dishwasher, not like the crappy ones you have in your house. Like, they will wash dishes in like 30 seconds. I really enjoyed it. Sometimes I miss it because it was just, you know, it was a summer job between, you know, college and stuff like that. But I actually really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun doing it. But it actually started my love affair with stainless steel kitchen appliances, because everything in a kitchen is stainless steel. And I like the there isn't a, like I like a lot of stuff about the industrial kitchens. Like I like if I could have like an industrial kitchen like in my house, I totally would. I like the sinks. I like the sprayer.
I like everything chromed out.
So, but yeah, no, I can see how maybe working at a hole in the wall wouldn't be like the greatest place to wash dishes or anything like that, but I actually found it to be kind of relaxing and therapeutic sometimes. Because you, it was it's one of those brainless jobs, you know, like anybody can do it. So it's just like, well, if I'm going to get paid $8 an hour to wash dishes, then I will get paid $8 an hour to wash dishes.
Yeah, you can just kind of simmer in your own thoughts and do your own thing.
Plus, you get to eat, like, you know, working at Woodfield in Warwick, at least I got to have filet mignon almost every other night.
Nice.
So, because you got to have some of the, you got to take some of the leftover food. Not the leftover food that, like, someone left on their plate, but
Cooked up
if
food
they,
that didn't get it.
yes, exactly.
Yes, I. That is my favorite steak, so.
Yeah. So good.
Yes.
All right, Ryan Cox. I hope I'm saying your name right. I really do. I think we've been over this before. I think the Arkham franchise has been great. Can't wait to see where they take it. I wish DC would use the style of the Arkham games for another character. I think it's getting repetitive. I could see Warner Brothers Montreal doing a Suicidal Squad game in 2015, and I agree with you with your 2014 Rocksteady Arkham game. Ryan, if you are interested at all, we had a conversation about your Suicide Squad game and about the formula of the Arkham game being used on other DC heroes in the latest off the cuff. So, interested to hear what you have to say about that.
Yes. King of Kong says, "What I dig about the Arkham series is how every game is a little bit different. Never do they come off as carbon copies of one another. Even Origins, which I don't like as much, at least tried to do something different."
Yeah, it's like what we said at the beginning. It's like Rocksteady came up with the sauce, and now Warner Brothers Montreal just gets to pick what noodles they use. So, bummed you're not enjoying Origins.
I will say it did take me a while to enjoy it, but the more I play it, the more I enjoy it more than City to this point, because one, you have the fast travel, which once you unlock those, I actually went through the game purposely to blitz through the fast travel so that I could get from point A to point B a lot faster. Despite the fact that when you do the fast travel, it tends to glitch.
I was just going to ask you, does the audio cut out?
The audio cuts out and some of the visuals kind of freeze and then it kind of catches up.
Yep,
And it's like every time.
that happens on the PS3 too, so you're not alone.
I think that they may correct it in the new next gen, but I think that the current one is kind of screwed. But yeah, there's definitely ups and downs between them, but I'd have to say that Origins is more enjoyable. Jedi Disaster says the Arkham games have been great. Finally, we actually have a good Batman game. Now, if they could only get Superman right.
Yes, finally, good Batman games. And again, as we said with Ryan's comment, the Superman, getting Superman right in a video game, we actually talked about that in the latest off the cuff. So, I wish I could share some of that, but I'm kind of done talking about
No,
the
I
Arkham
think that's
stuff.
a perfect plug to have people go for
Yeah.
more discussion over there.
Exactly. I my only the only thing I feel bad about is, and maybe you can help me rectify this. We did release it as a giant size episode, and I understand people won't want to listen to both, you know, they don't want to sit through 3 hours just to hear this conversation. Maybe Steve, I can get with you and you can help me. I can break it up into the two episodes, 39 and 40, and maybe we can just post links to those files
Yeah, we can do that.
on the page. That way, if people just want to listen to episode 40 for our Arkham discussion, they can do that. Justin Washington says, which I think he's a new guy.
Yes.
Yes. I love the Arkham series. Best version of Batman for video games ever. Nothing comes close. I will agree with that.
Yeah.
Because I can't even think of another Batman game. I mean, for some reason, whenever I think of video game Batman, I think of Arkham. And then I think of the 1989 Batman on the NES.
Yep, that's my thoughts too.
Those are my two Batman games. Like I know that there were some on like the PlayStation, the PlayStation 2, and stuff like that. But for some reason, those are the two Batman games that I think of.
There was a really crappy Batman Beyond game at 1.2 for Return of the Joker, but I don't remember what that was on.
Right, so basically, so basically the 1989 NES Batman and the Arkham games.
Yep.
So,
Jason Ritter says, Steve and Mike, I have a question for the next record. Who would you want to play Ra's al Ghul and Arrow? Just wondering because my choice would be John Hurt.
I see your question, and I raise you. Do you actually think we'll see Al Ghul? Ra's? Is it Ra's?
They say Ra's in the Batman Begins and The Dark Knight Rises and Arrow, but every other iteration I've ever heard is Ra's.
Okay. Do you think we'll? My question is: do you think we'll even see Ra's al Ghul? And I only say that because while they're building a world and they're using the League of Assassins, like that is he is a very Batman character.
Yeah,
that's my understanding. So I'm really wondering. But then again, if they're willing to pull out, supposedly if they're willing to whip out Nightwing, maybe they will drop Ra's al Ghul in there. I don't know who I mean. I mean, this is kind of the problem with casting in me is I can't really. There are people that I like to see in roles, and then there are some roles that I can't even envision being cast until someone puts an idea in front of me. It's kind of like what we talked about like a long time ago on Altered Geek. We had the discussions about Armie Hammer, and how like I couldn't even see him as Batman until somebody said that he actually tried out for the role, he actually auditioned for the role of Batman in the Justice League movie that was supposed to be out in like 2005.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. It's like I don't know, John Hurt, maybe it's just because I just saw him in the Doctor Who special. I'm not really familiar with John Hurt's body of work, and that's probably a really bad thing to say. I'm not saying he's a bad actor, it's just the last time that I saw him, he was kind of goofy. So I'm not entirely sure. I don't think he'd be bad. Again, it's just like what direction do you have him go? And obviously I think he could play a darker role. Who would you want to see, Steve? Have you given this any thought?
I don't even have a clue who I would want to see play it. I mean, obviously, Liam Neeson did a really good job in the film, and I would have never imagined him playing it.
We can get Ken Watanabe.
I don't even know who that is.
he was the decoy Ra's in Batman Begins. That'd be funny. Come on, I was just being funny.
He could be the decoy again.
And then we can get Liam Neeson to reprise his role.
Yeah. I think it would be better served as having a bunch of different higher-up guys of Ra's kind of running the show, like at least for appearances in Arrow. I think that they should save Ra's actually showing up and casting him until like maybe one of the later Batman films again, or Justice League film, because even in the animated thing, they had some kind of a massive war between Ra's and everybody else. So I mean, I could see him working out that way too, so it's kind of one of those what ifs, and I'm not really sure at this point that I really want to see him on Arrow. And then getting on with the rest of Jason's feedback, he says, I can't get enough of the Arkham universe. My second favorite version of Batman next to Batman the Animated Series. Then he says that his worst job is working on a dog shelter. Most of the dogs would bite at his pants. He said it sucks.
It's your fault for keeping treats in your pockets.
Oh. And then the last bit of feedback for the week is Ryan Hannity. It says, I worked as a garbage man one summer. The hours were great, but going home and smelling awful every day was not ideal.
See, I was actually, sometimes when I see like a garbage truck or something on the side of the road, I ponder whether or not that would actually be a good job, because I think, you know, you're outside, you're in the sun, you're in all the different types of weather, it's physical. I can see how it would be a great job. And I say this as a kid that I had a paper out for 6 or 7 years. I'm used to being outside in the, you know, no matter what it's like outside, you always had to deliver the papers, you know, rain, sleet, snow, hail, whatever. I say that as someone that actually enjoyed that type of work and having, like, you know, the set route and stuff like that. So I can see how that would be like a fun job. And yeah, I can understand how coming home and smelling awful every day would not be that great. But I can only imagine how good that shower feels at the end of the day.
Yes.
So there's that to look forward to, I guess. You can invest in an awesome shower head. And I can kind of relate to how you feel, because it's not entirely the same thing. But anybody that works in food, you always come home smelling like the place that you worked at.
Yes, I worked McDonald's and Little Caesars, and it was kind of a toss-up of which one smelled worse. It kind of depended on how much food I got near that day.
Yeah, I remember coming home from working at the movie theater when I first started working at the movie theater in Grand Rapids, and I was a concessionist. I remember coming home and getting in the shower and smelling like popcorn butter.
That would be horrible.
Like, I was like, you didn't, I mean, that's obviously almost, it's like right.
I was going to say, that's almost worse than smelling like pizza or something.
Well, you know, you get home and you peel off the clothes, and it's like you can smell, you know, the concession stand in your clothes as you're taking them off. And it's like you get in the hot water, and all of a sudden that smell is like exasperated, because all of a sudden it's like in the steam. Mm-hmm. But then it all goes away the minute you soap up. I can totally. And I'm not saying that working in a concession stand or working in food is the same thing as like collecting trash all day. But I'd have to imagine that. Obviously, there's the smell just from the truck itself. But I'm wondering how much of like that end of day funk is just you from being like active. You know, like, I'm curious, just throwing this out there. I don't know, I'm just curious about this job because I've never known someone that's done this. So I'd like to ask, is there a difference in, like, that, you know, smelling awful? Is it different, like, during the summer as opposed to the winter when you might not sweat as much? Or is it just the same all year round? So, just curious. Steve, have you had any jobs that you've hated?
Let's see, I've worked a great many jobs. I've worked for a school system for a summer day camp program, which I enjoyed that. I worked Little Caesars for 7 years, off and on. Actually, through the beginning years of Geekcast Radio, I worked at Little Caesars. Most of the time, I'd work my full-time job and then go work Little Caesars and then come sit down at the microphone at 12 o'clock at night and record a podcast right after I'd get out of work. So, but I enjoyed that job for the most part. McDonald's, it was a means to an end. I actually hated the job other than screwing with the managers in character voices. That's how I got through the day without strangling someone. I worked in an oil change place for about 3 hours.
Okay.
They didn't want to train me, and I was like, this sucks. The worst part was I was quasi-related to somebody that was the manager there and hired me, and then they just put me in front of books and was like, here, read this crap. I was like, okay, this sucks, and I never went back. I worked in in-store service job at Myers twice, which was fun because I got paid good money to hang out with my wife. Because everybody else was stupid that we worked with. I worked at Meijer. I extremely hated that. Mostly because the managers were kind of a-holes. And then when you work for a department store like that, they give you... Not only do you have to get whatever returns came back from customer service, and you have to find where the heck they go and put them away back on the shelf. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of, but they, as soon as somebody brings something back, it could be open or not, they'll tape that bastard back up and they'll throw it on the shelf. They put you in charge of like 7 or 8 departments or something seeming like that, because they have different areas. Like, you could have housewares, and you could have like kitchen stuff, and you could have small appliances and like the candle crafts aisle and stuff like that throughout the store. So I got stuck with all the crappy areas where everybody liked to, like, for instance, the rugs, and they'd throw them on the floor and just leave them there, you know, because they were testing them out, didn't feel like putting them away. Or you know, the candle aisle, which I couldn't go down without getting a headache. I think I worked there a month, and when I hired in, it was under the stipulation I don't work Sundays. I said I'd work any other day but Sunday, and then they kept scheduling me Sunday, and so I eventually decided after that month that I wasn't going back. And then I ended up working at a, you'll know what this is because it's local to here, but it's Huckleberry Junction pizza place. I worked there for 3 days and I quit. I was like, because they were like, oh, this is so busy, blah, blah, blah. And it's, you know, the sit-in amusement type stuff. And I was to the point in those 3 days, because they were so stupid how they were running things, and they were acting like they were insanely busy. And I worked Little Caesars during customer appreciation, which is like zombies on a fresh, you know, human running through the forest kind of thing. it's people, you know, stampeding in for cheap pizza, which the Huckleberry place, there was no comparison. They were slow. I was like, this is boring, and I quit there too, and then I ended up getting my dealership job, which I enjoy for the most part. I worked HP for a week, and that sucked. But no, I mean, overall, I think I've had a few crappy jobs, but I haven't really had any that I can really all that complain about, because I've had fun at most of them by goofing off, screwing with people I work with.
Yeah, I've never really had, I've had jobs that were like difficult, but nothing that I actually hated, because I don't know, I've always been fortunate to find myself employed when I needed to be, and I've also been fortunate enough to kind of, I don't know where I picked up the motto, but it was kind of, it's if you can't have fun doing it, there's no point in doing it. Luckily, I've always had jobs where I've been able to maintain that motto. You know, I work at a movie theater because I like movies. I do enjoy even my new job. I do enjoy my new job, even when it gets frustrated or long or you know, doesn't go as smoothly as it should. I still enjoy dispatching. I like watching, making sure people get where they go. I like looking at maps and all that stuff. That's fun for me. I will say I worked at McDonald's for 4 hours and never went back. I went to Burger King for my sit-down orientation with the manager and never went back. I have a lot of respect for people that work in fast food because I can't do it. I have a lot of respect for people that do work in fast food just because I it's not a job that I want to do because I can't, I know that I cannot do it. Yeah, I never really had anything that I absolutely hated. Usually it's because I work with really good people, that I, you know, have fun with and joke around with, and it even when it gets really bad, it's still worth it for me to go into work just to see those people. I develop like a sense of camaraderie, and I don't want to leave them like high and dry by like calling it sick or anything like that. Like, it's like I want to go into work to pull my weight so that I don't have to, like, you know, put a bunch of extra work on, you know, my coworkers and stuff like that. But yeah, like I said, fast food, not for me. I've tried it. That said, I did work a summer at Qdoba.
How was that?
That was fun. It was interesting because you realize that they actually do make a fair amount of their own food. Like the salsa, they actually make in-house. The guacamole, they make in-house. The rice, obviously, is made in-house. It's not like prepackaged rice. They actually, you know, they decide how much lime and whatever that green stuff is that they put in there.
Guacamole?
No. Like the green leafy stuff.
Ah.
Cilantro.
Okay.
They decide how much stuff like they put in there. Like they make their tortilla chips, they make those themselves. They cut flour, they cut up corn tortilla shells into quarters and deep fry those. And that's how they get their chips. So it's really interesting. You realize that it's not, like I said, it's not all like pre-processed stuff. Like the chicken, like the chicken is cooked actually on the grill. Like if you go to Qdoba, usually you can see the grill. That's not just for show. That's where your chicken actually comes from. It was interesting. The only reason I stopped working there is because some family stuff happened and I ended up, you know, not being able to get to work. So I just essentially quit. I worked at a Blockbuster until a manager pushed me too far and I walked out. Because he and I got along really well. And he knew that I was a really good employee, and we had an understanding as far as my schedule goes. And it was like a pretty slow day, and like a family emergency came up, and I told him about it. And he's like, "If you leave, don't come back." And I was like, "See you later." So that was kind of a bummer because I really liked that job. I worked at a GameStop. A Babbage's. That's how long ago this was.
Oh wow, that's old.
It was like 13 years ago. No, 12 years ago. I worked at a Babbage's over the holiday break, and I remember I was crushed because I was hired on as holiday help, and I knew that. But I was crushed after the holidays when they let me go, and they kept this other guy on because he was a dumbass. But then I realized that's what Babbage's is. It's a, you know, a hole in the wall full of dumbasses.
It is true, though.
So yeah, but it's pretty bad. I mean, I've worked a lot of places, and like I said, I've had fun working at all. I worked at a car wash. I worked at the Scrub-a-Dub on the corner of Saginaw and Hill Road.
Okay,
that was a lot of fun. It was nice because you can get tips drying off the cars. And that's essentially what I did, is I worked at the end of the line drying off the cars. And what I would do is anything over $10, I would take and deposit in my bank account. But like anything under 10, I got to keep and like spend for like lunch or food or anything like that for dinner. So it was kind of nice to be able to put something away every day. Like I usually made like $15-$20 in tips a day.
Not bad.
But No, it was nice. It was fun. But the reason I gave it up is because I was also working at Blockbuster at the time, and I was working in the morning at the car wash, and I was working in the night at Blockbuster. And I went to the manager and I said, "Listen, I can work a lot more here. I can be here more if you're willing to give me the hours, and I can quit the car wash." And luckily, he did that. So I've always been also fairly in the position to kind of get what I want out of a job, like a take it or leave it kind of thing. Like I don't need this. Like right now, I've got my foot in the door at two different jobs. Like I've got my dispatching job and the projection job, just in case like the projection job goes south. But mm-hmm. I'm not gonna fall flat on my face. Like I could leave one or the other at any moment. Like if all of a sudden I'm like, screw this, I'm out. Like I won't fall flat on my face.
That's so definitely good.
That just makes the jobs more fun when it's like when you have that kind of security, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's about all I've got. I did think of an interesting question to ask.
Okay.
The listeners. Your biggest tech faux pas or mistake or dunce moment that you've ever like experienced or had in your life, example. And I'm not, this is a true story, and this is the biggest blunder or, you know, duh moment I've ever had. When I was in elementary school, yes, this is like the biggest one for me. When I was in elementary school, you know, you're making friends and they give you their phone numbers so that you can, you know, call them and, you know, try and schedule like play dates, like, you know, your friend's going to come over and stuff like that. I had never used a phone before. So, you know, I was all excited. I had a phone number and I got home and I wanted my parents to call to see if my friend could come over. They're like, "No. If you want him to come over, you can call him." So I was like, okay. So I went over and I picked up the phone and I dial the first three digits and I stare at the phone. I'm staring at the numbers on the phone. And finally, I looked over at my parents and I said, "Where's the dash?"
Oh.
Because I've never dialed a phone before.
I could see that though.
And I was, and they're like, "There is no dash." And I'm like, "But that..." I think that is the biggest like tech folk, because at that time phone was a piece of tech, right? I don't really think of a phone as a piece of tech anymore, because even a smartphone isn't really just a phone anymore, right? So I'm curious, do you guys have any stories like that, like your biggest mistake? I'm trying to think if I've ever had any other ones. Maybe I'll try and think about it over the next week and see if I can come up with any more that are like that. But like the biggest one, I think that is like it. I think after that, it was kind of like, I may have made other ones, but never publicly. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, I have no fear of poking around until I break something and then backpedaling to fix it. But I've never gotten myself into a pinch where it's like, I need somebody else's help to fix something. Now, asking for somebody who specializes in something to help me out with something is completely different. Like, I'm not going to go and try and custom build a website myself. I'm going to ask somebody like you, Steve, or my other friends who actually know how to do that stuff. I'm going to ask you guys for help. I'm not going to try and do it myself. And maybe that's it. Like, maybe I just know my limits of what I'm actually capable of, and I never really go outside of them without an already established safety net. But yeah, if you guys have any like tech blunders or faux pas, or maybe like stories of like the first time you were ever introduced to something electronic, like the first time you ever used a like VCR or anything like that, I don't know, maybe you guys can share some of those stories with us.
Yeah. Can't really think of any blunders right off the bat other than one in particular where, actually it's not anything recent, it's although it would be funny if it was. I think when I was younger too, and this really dates me, back in the days of Windows 3.11,
oh my,
my dad had bought a second computer, and ours was a 486 DX4100, which that's before Pentium. My dad ended up buying a Pentium for himself, and it was 133 megahertz. you know, 32 megs of RAM, 1 gig hard drive. Oh yeah, it was big.
That thing sounds sexy.
My 486 had a nice 100 megahertz because it was the DX4100. Had 16 megs of RAM. Had a 404 megabyte hard drive and an 800 megabyte hard drive, and a 2x CD drive, supporting the 5.25 and 3 something inch floppy drives as well. So, I decided I didn't want Windows 3.11 anymore. I wanted Windows 95 like my dad had on his Pentium computer. I deleted the Windows folder.
Ooh.
No working Windows. So my dad came home pissed and he installed Windows 95 on it.
Did you... Now, that makes me think... Did we talk about this on Altered Geek? I know I brought it up with some of my friends in the past as like a... It was when Windows XP first came out. I heard about it on the screensavers. I never actually experienced this myself. There was a bug in Windows XP that wasn't actually fixed until I think the first service pack hit. Where you could embed on a website, you could embed in a hyperlink, you could embed executable text that would delete the Windows folder on a computer.
Yeah.
So if you're browsing around the internet on those, you know, the sites less traveled, we'll say, if you clicked on an unsuspecting link and nothing happened, you'd probably just move on and go about your day. And your computer would work fine until you restarted it. And then it wouldn't boot because you had deleted the Windows folder. That was a bug that wasn't fixed until Service Pack 1 hit.
It is true.
Like, that is crazy. I'm glad I never came across anything like that.
Yeah, we actually had somebody do that at in my high school.
Ooh.
He was like, oh, I took Windows and I clicked on this link, and then there was another one where you could actually physically throw the My Computer into the recycle bin.
Oh, wow.
Which he also did. I was like, wow, you're dumb. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of goofy stuff that happened with old Windows, and... Well, like everything old is new again. Windows, you know, 8, 8.1.
Yeah.
They're playing that card again.
Right. All right. Anything else you want to ask him for the next episode?
What are some different topics you'd like to hear us cover in 2014 on AGU instead of constantly hitting the superhero bag?
No more superheroes. No.
Well, I mean, obviously we'll hit it, but I'd like to hit it a little bit less than we've done. Because it seems like every week it's like heavy into superheroes. Which is why I threw in the other ones that were just kind of for fun. Oh, yes, I enjoy superheroes as much as the next guy, but it's also fun to have all the other weird ones in there. So I just throwing that out there. And just in case, depending on whether we decide to do an episode next week or not, I'm just going to throw this in there. What is your New Year's resolution? For whatever.
Man, I failed my New Year's resolution this year.
Or your wish to accomplish of some kind of a goal that you'd like to hit. Whether you hit it or not is a different story.
All right, and where can they tell us about these? Tell us the answers to these questions.
Well, they can call the voicemail line at 502-526-5821. You can email us feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can visit the website geekcastradio.com where you can comment on the episode post. You can visit the Facebook fan page by searching Geekcast Radio Network. You can get a hold of us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio, #AlteredGeek. You can contact myself at SCP21, and yours is, sir?
At BoothNinja81.
So, as always, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks. See you next time.
Bye.